Hey, what's going on, friends? My podcast every day is broken up into two parts on the free platform. The first part, Act 1, is right now. When it's all done, go right on over to Act 2 to get the second half of the podcast. Thank you so much for checking out my show.
Hello, hello.
Welcome in. Welcome in. Glad you're here. The Eric Zane Show podcast is underway. A daily show where I discuss news, nonsense, and my personal adventures from right here in the Impact Power Sports studio. Impact Power Sports, head up to Rockford to Impact Power Sports and say hello to the good folks over there. They want you to drop by, maybe get an ATV that you can wreck over on the sand dunes, or a motorcycle that you can go flying through somebody's windshield with. God, I cannot believe that. ImpactPowerSportsMI.com is their website. I want to follow up on that story yesterday about the guy riding his motorcycle on the sand dunes, ripping up the hill at a million miles an hour. About 20 dudes who were supposed to be spotting to see if there was going to be any traffic coming up from the other direction were picking their ass, not paying attention, while the guy ripped up the hill. On the other side, there's a dude in his Jeep, his Cherokee. I still can't believe that. The idea that you can go up there and there's like no right of way. Just go up it as fast as you want to go and crash in. No problem. This isn't really an update, but it's the perspective from one of the other local TV news stations, Channel 13. I'm gonna check this out.
County Sheriff is warning visitors to be careful at Silver Lake Sand Dunes after a scary crash between a dirt bike and a Jeep. 13 On Your Side's Julia Gorman has a look at video of the crash and how the two people involved are doing now.
The sheriff tells me both men involved
are alive. I think this is low audio. I think you can still hear it. But it isn't. It's a little low. I don't know why. That's on their end.
Video of this crash, you two will realize just how miraculous that is.
Jeez, this is video caught by a 21-year-old dirt bike rider. This is video caught by a...
We need to hear from that guy. I think he's still pretty fucked up. But it's the speed at which... Remember that scene in Star Wars when Luke is in the trench and all he has to do is, come on, now hit this thing and let's go home. And then Han comes flying in and he shoots at Darth and his other two that are flying alongside of him. And then Darth Vader's ship gets in and it goes like spinning off into the galaxy. That's what this guy's body reminds me of. In this clip that now appears to be frozen. Oh, shit. Come on. Easy getting the spinning wheel of death, making me very, very happy. Very unhappy, I should say. Corey says, or in episode 6, when the scout trooper flies off his speeder bike into a tree. All right. I did not anticipate this happening. I'm going to refresh it. So now we got to sit through their stupid ad. Never a perfect thing. And only a skilled professional like myself can navigate this without any real issues.
Indiana County Sheriff is warning visitors to be careful at Silver Lake Sand Dunes after a scary crash between a dirt bike and a Jeep. 13 On Your Side's Julia Gorman has a look at video of the crash and how the two people involved are doing now.
The sheriff tells me both men involved are alive. After you see the video of this crash, you too will realize just how miraculous that is.
This is video caught by a 21-year-old dirt bike rider at Silver Lake Sand Dunes on Saturday, August 10th. Take a look at it one more time.
I love it. It's so great.
Despite serious injuries.
He looks about like a rag doll being tossed.
Oceana County Sheriff Craig Mast says that man is expected to recover.
This is just a fine example of how fast things change up on the Silver Lake Sand Dunes scramble area.
Sheriff Mast says the dirt bike rider has spent a lot.
By the way, we talked about this yesterday. The sheriff has said, yeah, there's been some talk about some safety rules, but we're not going to get into that now. Why not? Earlier this year, someone was killed, a mother, and now this idiot has this thing happen.
A lot of time on the dunes. This is a look at the crash from a drone that was following the Jeep involved. For 25-year-old Gavin Plume, who was inside, however, this was his first time to the popular tourist attraction.
There was no time to react. I was going up it, and by the time I noticed him, he was right in my windshield.
Plume says he was just headed to find the bathroom.
It just really shocked me that, you know, he's still in a bad state, but that's all that happened to him. Seeing how far he went and how hard he landed.
While his...
Okay, that guy. Okay. Maybe it's the wreck that's making him impossible to listen to, but...
Jeep is totaled.
We talked about this yesterday.
Plume only walked away with some bruising.
I'm just happy to be alive, honestly, and be here today.
The sheriff says, unfortunately, situations like this on the dunes are nothing new.
Every week, my deputies respond to multiple crashes from on the dunes.
And he emphasizes, while it's part of the appeal for the millions who visit from across the country, people of all levels of experience need to know the area is a bit of a free-for-all.
Currently, there are no speed limits up there. There are no capacity limits up there. There's some non-directional, what's called a regular scramble area, where vehicles are going every which direction.
To visitors, the sheriff says, keep your head on a swivel.
Speed kills.
And slow down.
Speed is a number one contributing factor to a lot of crashes that happen up on the dunes. If they were to slow down.
So this guy, I love the fact that this sheriff knows all of the problems. He knows that there's several wrecks every week, and he does not lift one finger to make this a safer place. Is unbelievable, frankly.
A lot of those crashes would be minimized or wouldn't happen at all.
Now, the sheriff salutes the work the Department of Natural Resources does to manage that state park. He says he and the department often talk about how to improve safety there. If any changes are made, we'll be sure to let you know.
Yeah, some rules maybe. Maybe that would be a good idea. Anything at all? Corey writes, quote, hey, shit happens. What you gonna do? Chris says speed is fun, sheriff fucker. I'm not even saying that you can't speed, but if you're at one spot, it's quite possible to have someone racing up one side of the hill and then someone going up the other side of the hill. Something tells me that something needs to be done. Our pal Nick just sent a terrific video, from what I'm understanding. It is titled, 28 Crashes at Silver Lake Sand Dunes, Part 1. Yes! My man! Let's get into it. So we're going as simple as someone getting a big jump and then Evil Knievel or whatever the hell, or a Red Bull rider, and then crashing down onto the dune. Oh, it's a hard hit. Oh, he hit his head. Oh, yes. I'm just going to watch a few of these.
so fucked up. It's so great.
Okay, now that looks like the, I know that vehicle there. That is the Merchant Automotive diesel sand rail. I actually have seen that car up close and personal at Merchant Automotive. All right, I could watch this all day. I'll link it up in the show notes. You can check out some of these morons. Let's check out what happened here, because it looks like a lot of people have watched this. Do you ever do that on these videos? If you go down by the progress bar, you can see like where the interest spikes, which is a great thing. Okay. Oh, you're a scorpion. Looks fun. I wish I was watching from like a safe space. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm not one of these people. I don't want to be near this fucking place. I've been there once. Excuse me. It's a good cough right on the mic. Very professional. Thank you, Nick. I'll link it up in the show notes. Nick says, I love how the dirt people rush to each other. Chris adds, yeah, you're not changing the rules on these freedom fighters. My crash, my right. And then Chris adds, there's a reason I have a stupid Hertz Honda logo tattooed on my forearm. You know, you make a good point. These are all, considering what I've described to you about hard living lines, and the stupidity that surrounds me on a regular basis on this show. Maybe it's best just to leave it alone and let these people do their thing. This isn't going to, if a few of them get wiped off the face of the earth, no problem. This is just one less Trump voter. So in the end, we're much better off. Nick says, I take my boat to out in front and watch from the water where they can't run me over. Over at Fear Bunker North in the artillery range, there is this fantastic gravel pit where people take all their 4x4s and their side-by-sides. And we used to actually drive there. You know, head out in our four-wheel drives. Like, I can take my truck out there, but I'm too afraid. I'm just afraid something bad's going to happen. This is how it goes. When you become older, you start to realize your own mortality. And you try to avoid those scenarios. And if I were to even drive into that place, I'd be like, I'm not comfortable with this. Let's go pick up some sticks. You know, let's get out of here. We can't have this happening. And off I go. Today is the day, ladies and gentlemen, that I take the fraud bus back to the dealership to once again begin the process of repairing it. While I was cleaning it, I noticed there were some other issues with it in addition to the generator crapping out for the third time now. Actually, fourth time. The couch is ripped. There's a couple pieces of molding that haven't been sealed appropriately. Water is going to get in. A spot where they just forgot to paint. Adding to my list of problems with the vehicle. Now, I'm curious as what Joe Operations Manager is going to do, because he says to me, we are looking to make this right, Eric Zane. And I'm like, okay, now I don't know what you're thinking, and he hasn't turned to me. Aram says, more repairs. I thought I was tuned into a past episode. No, well, you see, yesterday I talked about the incident, but I hadn't yet taken it in. And I couldn't make it yesterday because I've got too much going on, which is another real glaring problem with all of this. I'm fucking busy. All right? I don't have time to be driving 45 minutes one way to drop off a brand new fucking $185,000 toy for you to fucking fix for now what will amount to of the summer, of the 3 months that we get, about 40 days of time, the goddamn thing has been in your fucking garage. But here I am yet again. Aram, I'm not sure if you were here yesterday, but yeah, that was a big topic of yesterday's show. I took the fraud bus up for the first time since the last repair job. And, yeah, I got 50 miles and then the generator that powers the back of the vehicle, like the AC and shit like that for your passengers, crapped out. So everybody's sweating their fucking balls off in the back of the thing. Rebecca says, wouldn't it be cheaper just to rent an RV when you want to use it? Yes, it would. But I don't know why, but for some reason, I like having one at my beck and call. It's a tremendous expense. This is not like you just get it and then, oh, well, it'll pay for itself because we don't need to get hotel rooms. No, it's everything about this has cost. The insurance is through the roof. The registration is through the roof. To store it, it's through the roof. Gasoline is through the roof. An oil change, super expensive. These are all, if you were to break it down month by month, all of the costs, it's like another house payment. Well, it is. It definitely is another house payment. Corey says threaten a lawsuit if he doesn't take it back. Oh, he's going to take it back. He's okay. Look, I'll tell you this. The dealership has been great when it comes to, all right, here you go. Here it is again. They kind of have to. It's all warrantied. It's not. I didn't do anything to this. It showed up this way. Okay. They're being fine when it comes to, hey, you got to fix this, and they're very apologetic. But like I said to them the other day, I go, I'm not interested in this anymore. I just want it fixed. When he said to me, I had my best guy fixing that last time, I actually said, yeah, I got to stop you there because I just don't believe it. I don't believe you and I don't trust you. No offense, but this is where we are right now. And I mean, you earned that. It's not my fault. I know one thing's for sure. I guess I can't say for sure what is your fault and what is not your fault. I would say it's a blend of a poor product. And it's a blend of, in fact, I'd say the product is more to blame than you are. But you have had an opportunity to repair it. Nick says, EZ needs to send his best guys to supervise. So we'll take that thing over there and try again today. It's been a nightmare, an absolute nightmare. I sent a email yesterday, said I'm dropping the lemon off on Tuesday. I actually just refer to it as the lemon. So out of the blue yesterday, I get a call from the manufacturer. Now, this is not the dealership. These are the people who made it. And the word has gotten around to them. And I've talked to this lady before. And the first time I talked to her, I was in Maine complaining about everything. And I haven't talked to that woman since. I left a message, but I've kind of focused this on just getting it repaired. because the way the law works, there is a law on the books, because some of you have asked about my legal options. As long as the dealership makes a reasonable effort to repair it, that is status quo. That is what's supposed to happen. If they ever say, well, too bad, then we're in a different legal ground. But they are doing everything they can right now to make me a happy camper. And the quote that I was given when I had the thing in Maine and it was shit was falling off of it, I said, hey, I want a new one. He goes, it doesn't work that way, easy. I go, okay, well, what are you going to do? He says, I'm going to do everything I can to make you fall in love with that vehicle. I go, all right, you got a shot. Took it back to him. 24 days later, I pick it up. The next time I take it out was last week, 50 miles in. One of the things that I had them repair does not work. So they failed. That's why when he said, I got my best guy on it, I go, well, then your best guy sucks shit, because that motherfucker put it together. So 50 fucking miles and the thing's out of commission again. Fuck that shit. So I calmly said, I didn't talk to him like that. I mean, I'm talking like that in the podcast. Corey says, no, I want a new one or lawsuit time or give me my money back. Yeah, it's not that simple. It's just not that simple. And I don't have the time, energy, or money to do that. I just want one that works. I want to enjoy my trips without having to worry about it. I like the coach. I like it when it's working. It's wonderful. But fuck that. You got to get some, you know, like in NASCAR when they say, we got to get some clean air. You fuckers got to get some clean air. Tyler says, I like to think if this goes to court, clips of past shows will be played in the courtroom as evidence, LOL. So I don't know. I mean, if I ever feel like they're being assholes, then yeah, then we get into a whole new ball game. And I'm sure there are appropriate lawyers for this, but I don't want to do that. All I want, this is what I want to do. I want to get in the coach. I want to spend a lot of money on gasoline. I want to go up north. When Pooh Bear goes to bed, I'm going to have some smokes. I'm going to pick up some sticks. I'm going to eat a s'more. I'm going to go for a walk. And then I'm going to play with the dogs. And then I'm going to go to bed. That's what I want. And in no way in any portion of that do I want to make a fucking phone call saying, hey, the fucking thing sucks shit again, man. The generator's out. God damn it. I don't want to do that. So today I drop it off. And I'm generally a pleasant person. I know that sounds stupid because I'm always bitching. But particularly when I'm out in the wild, I want things to go well. So I keep it simple, try to make conversations brief, smile, and move on. I actually have to, because this is the face I want to make. Just happy. But now I actually have to wall myself off when I give the keys to my guy and say, here you go. Yeah, another hour and a half of my life driving this thing to and fro. All this money to get it here. It actually costs me money to get it here out of pocket. I don't know. I mean, there's got to be something you can do for me. I actually have something that they could do for me. And I'm gonna run it by the powers that be. And I'm gonna drop, is it too much to ask for you to purchase and install a tow bar? You're like, what is that? It's boring, but it allows me to tow a car without having to put it up on a dolly. Aram says, I think that guy needs a visit from Eric Zane. Screw that do nothing Zaytunian. I think it got to a point that when I said to the guy, I don't trust you and I don't believe you, because it was met with silence. He didn't know what to say. I think I hurt him. And I said it calmly. I wasn't a dick. I just said, look, I'm going to stop you right there, man. I don't believe you and I don't trust you. I know. If I work in a customer service industry and I heard that, well, I mean, even if I did it for the podcast, if I had any of my marketing partners say to me, Easy, I don't trust you. I don't trust you. I don't believe you. My fucking heart would be broken. I'm like, ah, oh, shit. You know, I try to do a good job. Anyway, getting back to the lady who called me from the manufacturer, which I guess at one point I have revealed the name of the manufacturer way back when. Bleeding Heart Brian tipped me off. I don't know. Whatever. Everybody's trying to egg me on to be an asshole to these people. Rich says, bend over and take it up the tailpipe each time. Definitely doesn't sound like Zane. More like Zaytunian. Yeah, you're right. I do feel like there's been a dick in my butt. Jeremy says, hour and a half, that's only one round trip. It's actually 3 hours because you have to pick it back up. Yeah, that's right. 3 hours a pop of time. And this is my third or fourth time there. That's a lot. All right. Getting a lot of great ideas. Have a big rig wrecking company tow it to them and have the dealership pay for the tow. Corey says, if you honestly acted surprised when you said you don't trust him anymore, then this dude deserves it. He should have expected that with how this has gone. Tow bar is a good idea. Then they can screw up two of your vehicles, says Matt. You've wasted half a day of your life getting this lemon to and from the shop. Yeah, there you go. You know, God knows how much time we have. I don't want to waste my time going to a dealership to get very basic shit taken care of on something that I paid you a lot of money for. God damn it. When I get, so the lady from the dealer, not the dealership, from the manufacturer calls me. She goes, yeah, I just wanted to touch base because I'm hearing things about this, that, and the other thing. And I want to know that I'm here for you. How can I help you? And I said, well, you can't. You cannot help me. And she goes, what do you mean? I go, well, I mean, the vehicle needs to be repaired. Do you know how to repair vehicles? No. I go, well, I mean, this is nice. But again, I'm just wasting my time talking to you. Yeah, this is a combination of, I'm glad you're here because I'll tell you, this is, as I indicated last time, this is workmanship on your company. Whoever, you who made this vehicle, you made did a poor job making it. I've already accepted that. And I've already told you that. And it's a combination of that and a combination of service at the dealership. But I'd say it's more to you. I would say this is more on you. And once you sell the vehicle to the dealership, I mean, unfortunately, that's it. And now it's on them. All right. So, no, there's nothing you can do for me. Again, I don't want to see or hear from you people ever again. I want to repair this. And then, because typically when I get my motorhomes repaired, I take it to another place in Hudsonville, Michigan, called Speed Wrench. And I was told that they are superior to everyone else. And for 7 years, I took that first motorhome there. And I tell you what, top of the line. Now, General, God damn it. So anyway. That's where I am with that. Jeremy writes, Irvine's hybrid EV and RV coming soon. Corey says he needs to give you a free Sea-Doo. Yeah, this has been rough. And I will drop it off a little bit later on, hand him the keys. And when he says, well, what's wrong with it? I said, well, look at the previous work order. That's what's wrong with it. Because it's the same goddamn thing. You know, same damn thing. Wasn't all bad yesterday. As our beloved Madison came home and she picked up her new car. This is known as a Hyundai Veloster, which is a cute little car. Now, the one that we gave up was that old Accord, that 2007 Accord. The first new car I ever had. Every kid in the family had it. Diana drove it. Five people drove this fucking thing. When it finally died, 190,000 miles on it. It's not dead, but it needs a lot of work. It was parted out. It was taken to a junkyard. And they gave me $1,000 for it at the dealership. This vehicle that we picked up, it's high miles, but still a lot less miles than what we had. 116,000 miles on a 2017. I go, I need the Carfax. They produce the Carfax. I look over the Carfax. Okay, hit a deer. No big deal. Uh-huh. All right. Oil changes. I see it all. I read it over. All right. I go, why 100 and why, how come you're only charging me? How come this is only a $5,900 car? 2017s like this are going for much more. He goes, high miles. And it's a budget vehicle. I go, all right, I appreciate that. Bought the fucking car. I bring it home, and then they said to me, they go, it needs a new catalytic converter. So when you stomp on it, the giddy up and go won't be there. You got to replace that thing. I go, no problem. Easy. Bring it home. Madison comes home. First thing I say to her, I go, now look, last car you had, I can understand if you leave a mess in it, like throw your wrapper on the ground or whatever the hell, or you eat in it and there's shit everywhere. I get it. It's a piece of shit car. This is a much nicer car, though. Okay? You got a 10-year upgrade on this thing. You actually look like an adult driving this thing. What do you say we put our best foot forward and try not to... let's say you eat your fruit bites. You don't take the wrapper and just throw it anywhere. This is such an upgrade for the kid. Air conditioning, the other one is broke. Radio, other one was broke. Bluetooth, other one didn't have it. Technology didn't exist in 07, at least not for this car. God damn. Yeah, if you wanted to play CDs, your dad did like music, you had to put CDs in. It had like a CD changer. Hey, it's Eric Zane here to tell you about my new favorite marketing partner, Mint Mobile. For the longest time, we've been paying way too much for our cell phone service, our plans, whatever it is, mobile device, whatever you want to call it. Every so often, they like put the screws to you just a little bit at a time. You don't even notice. Next thing you know, you check out the bill. You're like, wait a minute. This is not what I decided to pay for. What has happened? Okay, forget all of that. You can skip it all right now. Everything is about to change for you. Mint Mobile is the key. With Mint Mobile, you'll never, never have to worry about gotchas ever again. That's what I'm talking about, where they slowly raise your prices that you pay. When Mint Mobile says $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, they mean it. Say goodbye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. All the plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You're like, EZ, tell me more. This is all you do. I did this. All my family has done this. And you should too. To get the new customer offer and your new three-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Zane. That's good anywhere. mintmobile.com/Zane. Cut your wireless bill from whatever ridiculous amount that you're paying each month to $15 a month. mintmobile.com/Zane. Pay attention to this legalese. $45 upfront payment. That is equivalent to the $15 a month for 3 months. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speeds slower, 40 gigs on unlimited plan. Don't even worry about that. I use that and it's no big deal. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Jeremy says the Veloster is the ultimate clam-loving clam-mobile. So, yeah, I didn't know that. So the Veloster is a very popular lesbian style car. Is that what you're telling me? Because as we all know, my beloved daughter revealed to me a few years ago about being a Shrub Scout. And oh my God, I didn't know that. I was the last person to find out about that, by the way. That story is still one of my favorite stories of all fucking time. I guess my kids, because I asked them after the fact, did you know Maddie is gay? And Jackie goes, oh, yeah. I go, what the fuck? How? Oh, the way she dresses. I didn't know she was a Shrub Scout. Yeah, yeah. I was walking by her bedroom door. And she was in a conversation with somebody. Some of you remember this story, but it's fantastic. At this point, 1 second before I heard what came out of that room when she was on the phone with somebody through that door, I had no idea. None. She had dated dudes. And you know what? I'm so glad that she's done dating dudes, because every dude she brought home was one of the biggest pieces of shit that's ever walked the earth. Another tangent. Okay, that's one tangent into another tangent. She was dating this fucking dork who had this weirdo head. I'll never forget it. He walked in. He looked like one of those kids that either the mom drank during pregnancy or the kid got too much oxygen at birth. Almost like he had a big water pocket on his brain. It reminded, like when he walked in, I went, why do I have a feeling that you in another life were a beluga whale? I took one look at this dude and said, what the fuck's up with this guy's head? And in my brain, I'm looking at him like this, with this look on my face, like, you got to be fucking shitting me. Fast forward. We take a trip up to Fear Bunker North. And it's time for my dad to initiate this dude, this silly little ritual that we came up with. My dad to this day still knows the words. And you got to get down on your knees. I know that sounds weird. And my dad says, welcome to the campfire. We will now initiate you with the ancient Siamese custom to initiate you to be part of the fellowship of the Zaytunian family. Are you prepared? There's torches lit around him and all this shit. Yeah, I'm ready. Okay, you must repeat the words while bowing down. Like every time you say a word, you have to like bow. Repeat the words. Owa. Owa. And he bends down. Tana. Tana. Siam! Siam! And then so my dad says, you will repeat the words faster and faster until the message hits you and you know what the message is. Then you must tell everyone the message you have received from the Siamese leaders gone before us. Begin! So then the kid's going, Owa, Tana, Siam. And he's saying it faster and faster. And eventually, and he was doing it with Justin, Jackie's now husband, my son-in-law. And Justin starts going, oh, what an ass I am. Oh, what an ass I am. When you say it faster, you're saying, oh, what an ass I am. So then Justin, after about three times, he gets it, stands up, and you have to whisper what the message is to the leader, my dad. My dad goes, you are correct. Sit down, son. Welcome to the group. You are realizing what you are. This guy was so retarded. He continued to go, oh, what an ass I am. 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 And he did not get it. And this went on and on and on. Now, I knew this was going to happen because this guy, he just was fucked up from the jump. So Justin feels bad for him and goes up to him.
Says, hey, go up to Mr. Z, Papa Z, and say, oh, what an ass I am. And then you'll be free.
Whatever. Well, he realized how stupid he looked. And he looked around at everybody, and I swear to God, Diana's my witness, Jackie's my witness, Madison is my witness, my dad is my witness, Charity Scam Mike is my witness. He goes, and he stormed off. We all go, what? And then, like, back behind the fire pit, there's like a bench, and we hear, he's crying. This fucking twat. I wanted to go kick his teeth in right there. I think you got to be shitting me. Oh, my God. This fucking pussy. Oh, Jesus Christ. I can't believe. And she looks at me. Madison looks at me and she shakes her head. And I'm like, yeah, I'm thinking to myself, you better fucking kick this guy to the curb. And she goes back and has to go, there, pussy. It's going to be okay. Oh, my God. So when she told me that she was a Shrub Scout, I was like, oh, thank God. The other guy, okay, first guy she brought in was a nice guy, but I couldn't get past the fact that he had a stutter. I know that sounds horrible. But, you know, we make dinner and he wants somebody to pass the ketchup, and that took like 5 minutes for him to say. Could someone? And I'm like, oh, fucking shit.
You got a fucking kidney.
Just like my dad back in the day. But after the pussy guy, I was like, I want to go back to the stutterer. All right. I don't know how we got on that topic. Oh, because Jeremy said that the Veloster is the ultimate clam-loving clam-mobile. Corey says it is a lesbian car. You can get lumber and golden retrievers back there. Matt says, I thought lesbians love the Subaru Snatchback. Jay Quill says, imagine dating Madison and then hearing this discussion right now. Yeah, no. Anything that happens that my eyes take in is fair game. Unless if someone says, hold up, I know you just saw that, but will you not mention that on the podcast? Yeah. Okay, now that's a different ball of wax. I will honor that. Sometimes I don't talk about things just to protect a person's integrity, like the dealership. I like those folks. I didn't like this guy from the get-go, so I don't give a fuck what happens to him. Jay Quill says, oh, no, I don't blame you at all. I didn't think you were. Also, the comment, that's the beauty of being an observer. I'm telling you, the best things I ever talk about on this show, I know that if I have a day where I'm not at home all day, like I just venture out. Like the day that Pooh Bear and I went to go get the track phone for the NFK, when we ran into that little piece of shit, filth troll kid, PJ, running through the store. Which, by the way, I kept the part of the story out that he didn't have fucking shoes on. One of those dirty, feral, filth, fucking piece of shit Ottawa kids.
Ugh. His reaction, TJ, when he saw his aunt, I was like, oh, God, he was so disgustingly scared of his aunt. Right away, I was like, she's blown him. He just tipped me off that abuse has happened to him at the hands of his aunt blew him. I can guarantee you. Uncle Christian says, easy, you need meta glasses that can record what you see to prove these people exist. Well, yeah, I know. And the thing about it is, I would have great difficulty making stories up because I would ultimately fuck up the story. So I don't ever, like, lie or make the shit up because I'm going to fuck up the story. You know, I usually just stick to it. I might try to throw in comedic effect for it to some degree. But for the most part, what you hear is what you get. Like, for example, when the legendary Gary at the Men's Warehouse incident went down. At the time, I was very frustrated and upset. And it wasn't until a couple hours later that I realized that I had something magnificent on my hands. And all I needed to do was capture the moment by describing how I felt and what everybody's emotions were at the time. And that story was going to be a goddamn home run. What you're describing, though, is what some people do called podcasting IRL, in real life. And that sounds like a fun adventure. Like at random times on Patreon, I'll go live for an extended amount of time. Uncle Christians throws out an Insta 360 cam. Is that a thing? I'd be willing to look into it. Let me write that down on my list of things to do. Or is that something you just made up? Corey says they have them at Best Buy. Yeah, you know, honestly, I would probably just order it. When was the last time you went to a store? Apparently, it is a thing. So maybe that's something down the road. It says they're like a GoPro, but better. Cool. I think that might be fun. So Madison gets a new car. She's excited about it. I'm excited that she's excited. And the NFK sees it. He says, hey, I want to see that fucking car. And he's in a mode now where everything gets a swear word again. Where for a while that wasn't happening. And but now it's happening again. And it's always at weird times. Like he's throwing in swear words when they're not needed. Like, I mean, I'm all about a good swear word at a time. But throwing it in at appropriate times when the story calls for it or whatever. When you have maybe a what the fuck attitude about something. But he throws in swear words when there's no swear words needed. And he didn't say fuck. When I said to him, I go, he goes, hey, today I see him downstairs and I go, hey, what'd you think about Maddie's car? He says, that's a nice fucking car. And I'm like, yeah, it is. It is a nice car. And so then there was the issue with the phone he had when we were gone, when we were up north. I got a tip that we lost power here. So I wanted to call him. I called him on that phone, the one we just got him. And I'm like, if he picks it up, it's going to be a miracle. Because like I told you, he doesn't tap. Like when the phone goes off, typically you just tap and hit the green button and talk. He doesn't do that. He presses and holds. So I had to explain to him. I go, don't press and hold. Just tap it. He picks it up. Hello. I'm like, hey, I see you lost power. Yep. Okay. All right, buddy. Well, I'll let you know what's up. And it turns out it worked out. No big deal. But for some reason, Diana called him. Pooh Bear called him on the way home, and it rang once and it went to voicemail. Now, she then went up to him, and this is a fatal mistake. And she said, "Is your phone working?" "Yeah." "Well, I called and it rang once and you didn't pick it up and it went right to voicemail." Now, all of that is beyond his pay grade. He doesn't know. And then he fucking flips. He goes, "Well, goddamn, it fucking worked when fucking Eric called me. I don't fucking know what the fuck is wrong with it. I'm like, Jesus Christ, what the, I have the goddamn phone. If it rings, I pick it up, but it didn't ring. So I don't know what the fuck you're talking about." So he's getting more and more pissed off. So then she comes up to me, and she brings that up. And so I go up, walking up to him. I go, "Hey, I'm gonna try to call you." He goes, "Yeah, fucking shit. I mean, she fucking called me. It didn't fucking work. I don't know what the fuck is going on. Or fucking shit." So I call, and it works fine. I go, "Yeah, it's nothing to worry about. It's just something on her end. I'll take care of it. It's a simple setting." Now, I don't know that. He goes, "Yeah, fucking." He's getting agitated. This is the run-of-the-mill type of response, okay? And I go walking up to her. I go, "Look, you don't know, I don't know, he doesn't know why that happened. But don't bring it up to him. All you're doing is rousing him up, getting him all pumped up and excitable. We can't have that. He thinks it's the end of the world. He goes through great anxiety. So don't tell him. Tell me. You got to understand that he is ill. This is this is not like, he's not like you and I. He doesn't have the ability to process these things in an A, B, C, D, E manner. Okay, you got to give this man a wide berth. So if you have anything, please bring it up with me. And this is very, very important. He trusts me more than he trusts you." "What?" I go, "Yeah, well, I mean, think about it. Whenever he needs anything done with medical, with technological, with his finances, he asks me. And he knows that it'll get taken care of. So don't just, you got to go chain of command. In his little world, he's number one, I'm number two, you're number three. And you're way down the fucking, way a low three. So no problem solving with him. Keep it simple. Hi, how are you? I love you. Let's have some popcorn and watch fucking Ice Road Truckers, whatever the fuck it is you watch." Tyler says he'll start flapping his arms so much, he'll actually take flight. It's true. Uncle Christian says he becomes Lewis Black. Maureen says, "I feel like there may have been flapping of the arms involved." Absolutely. So who knows what the problem was? No big deal. Again, the only reason why he has a phone is in case he takes a header. He can army crawl to the phone and call us. I like the idea about him having a medic alert. Mason Blues says you should call him while you're podcasting. No, no. You see, I think he'll be able to sniff things out. It's fine the way it is. I don't want him sniffing things out and figuring out what the fuck really goes on here. Because then he might fucking put his ear to the door when I'm talking about him taking a shit in his pants or something like that. And then we lose that. If we lose the ability to tell those stories, goddamn. Ladies and gentlemen, our pal Kenny in Nashville is checking in. He wrote, "Yay, meeting finally done. What did I miss?" Well, I was tipped off, Kenny, that I forgot, was it a text message I got? Maybe it was an email. I'll tell you who sent it if I can figure out who sent it. Maybe it was on X. God, who the fuck sent me that? Someone said that Kenny the Punisher is unleashing hell on X. God damn it, where is it? Well, I feel bad that I don't have it, but it says that Kenny is losing his shit on X, and I looked you up, and you kind of are. It seems like Kenny uses X. 9 out of 10 posts on X are him getting ready to kick somebody's ass. Similar to, like, my problems with the RV, Kenny is having problems with lots of things. The Life 360 app is a problem. He wrote to them in May. He says, I love your app at Life 360, but you need to make this something we can disable. A lot of people realize that they save their battery and are extending battery life by disabling the Wi-Fi while going from place to place. And these constant notifications are annoying. Please make it so. Wait, why don't you just turn it off? Kenny's pissed off at Yahoo, at Yahoo Mail. Do you guys realize you've made it almost impossible to log into older Yahoo Mail accounts because everything is automatically trying to log into AT&T Mail now rather than Yahoo Mail? Why? So frustrating and confusing. Then he's got a question for my friends at Sam's Club. Continuing the first game of The Last of Us in about 30 minutes. Today should be 3 of 4 in total before moving on to the second game. All right, he's a Twitch gamer. We know that. All right, but the most recent one, I guess Kenny tried to cancel Spotify. Why does the cancel subscription button do absolutely nothing? He tweeted at Spotify USA, at Spotify, and at Spotify Cares. I've tried on mobile and on PC, and clicking cancel subscription does not work. It literally sits there and acts like I haven't clicked it. It makes zero sense. Did you try, I mean, this is going to sound stupid. Did you try shutting the device on and off or the computer on and off? Kenny takes a run at Amazon. Okay, so he goes after Spotify, and then on the second he went after Amazon, and then he went after a company that makes a razor. It's this it's a razor called Groomy. And I guess it's a huge pile of shit. Less than a month old, and even after trying to clean up the blades as best as possible, it refuses to work right now. I got one spot above my right ear shaved today, and now I guess I have to get a shaving cream and a razor again. God damn! Look, there's even a clip that Kenny showed of him taking this thing apart. God damn it. I took his motherfucker apart. You crazy sons of bitches. I'm still fighting with your garbage product. God damn it. Worst shaver I've ever used. The generic one I got from China off Amazon lasted longer than this thing. Boy, but you're not kidding. With the Spotify cheddar, and then you getting grifted with your buying shit from a fake seller, and then you're buying piece of shit razors. I think you just leave the internet buying alone. Kenny's product review podcast. That's fun. All right. I'm just trying to scan more. A lot of gaming stuff. He went a long spell in 2023. In 2023, he pretty much was posting about The Last of Us. Oh, my God. Kenny, in 2022, just before Christmas, Kenny went after FedEx. You guys are literally the worst. You need someone like Tom Hanks' character in Castaway. He seemed to care about actually getting people their packages timely. I ordered this 10 days ago. Shipment originated in New Jersey. I'm in Tennessee. I still don't have it, goddammit. Kenny went after PlayStation. 30 minutes of trying to give you jerks money, and this constantly keeps happening. This is just stupid at this point. In football season a couple years ago, Kenny going after the refs. Kenny likes some music. I guess some band that he likes, Spotify put the wrong cover art. Some band, doesn't matter. It's some one of his shitty metalcore bands. And when you clicked on the music for the specific body of work, the album art did not match up with the album you were listening to. So Kenny decides to fire off a notice to Spotify. Who does that? What? How do you guys go about fixing albums that have the wrong cover art? Same band, completely wrong album cover, and the cover is used on two completely different albums on your app. The album cover is incorrect. Kenny is changing Spotify one tweet at a time. Here's one where he registered to become an organ donor because of my connection with Gift of Life. Fuck Gift of Life. Those assholes. Kenny the Punisher, you laugh, but you want to get shit done. Kenny the Punisher is going to do that shit. He's going to make it happen. So Kenny could establish a whole industry. KennyThePunisher.com. When you want to get shit done, you just bang on his door, and he's going to take care of it. He says, why don't you call me anymore, damn it? I can call you. Jesus Christ. Hang on a second, asshole. I had to get my high-tech phone line ready. I think eventually I will actually be able to have an appropriate phone line here, but I haven't had time to even look into it yet. Like, this console that I have is set up for it. Side note, I told you that I ordered this console. It cost $2,000. It's installed, works fine. It took forever to get here, and I would call quite regularly to a dude named Gary. And he was always like, oh, God, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's going on. He's all frustrated. Finally, it arrives. Okay. And then, like, so we went months without getting anything. And then I got it. And then 7 days later, they sent me a second one. I'm like, Jesus. So I called him yesterday. I go, hey, man, now you went the other way. You're sending me too much. This is not mine. I need to send this back to you. What are we doing? Oh, my God. All right. Well, we're going to send you a shipping label. We're going to email it to you. Do you want FedEx or UPS? I go, I don't care. UPS. Doesn't matter. Do you want them to pick it up or you want to drop it off? I go, actually, I'll drop it off. I'm not comfortable with leaving anything out. It's a high-end item. I don't want that to happen. I would rather it be in my hands. I will deliver it back. No problem. I like these people. okay, we're sending you a shipping label, easy. I go, no problem. They haven't sent it. Now, if they don't send the shipping label, at this point, do I make a second call to say, hey, send me a fucking shipping label? Or do I not and just wait? I think ultimately I have to call them back and say, idiots, send me a shipping label. Corey says, now it's free and you can keep it. I don't think it works that way. Tyler says, consider that good karma for all the money you've dumped into the fraud bus. All right. It's been a while since we brought this sweet fellow who spells his name funny onto the show. Welcome to multi-talented Mr. Henson.
Hey.
Hey, mate.
Hey, man. How you doing, man?
Yeah, so you're on the warpath.
You know, it's funny. I never really realized that that's the only reason I grew to ever use Twitter, now X, but people still call it Twitter. But, yeah.
Have you been doing any Google reviews for anyone lately?
Actually, I really don't do that often, but I actually did leave a Google review just recently, but it was sad because it was for, like, the best place I've ever been to that had, like, the best Philly cheesesteak. And, you know, like, everybody has a mall probably in their area that used to be, you know, just busy as hell years ago, mm-hmm. and now they're dying away.
Right.
So it was in the food court at the local mall, and it was the only place that had not changed in the food court area. All the others had come and gone, and it was just simply called Steak Grill. And I drove there 20 minutes away like a week ago because I was like, man, I'm really craving one of those Philly cheesesteaks. And I looked online. It said it was still open. And when I got there, like, the name was torn down. It was completely shut down.
Did you shed a tear? Did you weep?
Man, I was so bummed. But no, I didn't, like, weep. But no, I actually had to report that it was permanently closed, and I left a Google review at the same time. But that was the first one I'd left in, I don't know, a good year or so.
People are suggesting you may have tossed a firebomb. And Aram writes, truncate, shorten the story. And Maze in Blue says, or Jeremy says, I predicted the end of this story 3 minutes ago.
Come on now, it's not like I'm a reading or anything.
Yeah, there's nothing better than a place that you, or there's nothing worse when a place you like just shuts down. But that's pretty much it at malls. I mean, malls are dying. Isn't that crazy? What is the world going to do with all of those buildings? All right, that is Act 1 of the podcast. Act 2 is available right after this one. Go check it out. What are you doing? Don't miss a second of it. Thank you so much.